This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So today, inshallah, we're talking about, once again, we're continuing the series of adab. And once again, the point is that we understand the adab of the various aspects of our life. And more importantly, I always encourage all of you to please teach these same adab to your children. As I said at the beginning of this series, one of the biggest things that I see lacking in our children today is the lack of adab, the lack of etiquette and respect. Many of us here, the way we were raised overseas perhaps, we were taught adab by our parents, but living here in America, not a lot of times is that usually the emphasis. So that is why it is very important that we teach and we understand the adab of our deen. So today, inshallah, we're talking about the adab of the masjid. The very first thing is, when we talk about the adab of the masjid, is that making sure that we're always dressed properly when we come to the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, Ya bani adama khudu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. That anytime you go to the masjid, then do adorn yourself. Meaning that wear something that is considered as appropriate. And the ulama, you know, if you go into the books of tafasir, that why exactly was this ayah revealed? It is mentioned that many times when it came to the Quraysh, they would go to perform tawaf, they would not wear appropriate clothing. So that is why this ayah was revealed. However, for us as Muslims, once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us something, the Quran is telling us something, but at the same time, the ulama, they expand on this and they say that the best way to understand this is that whatever you can wear in public, that is what you should wear at the masjid. If there is something that you would be shy in wearing in public, then perhaps you should not be wearing that at the time of or coming to the masjid, or even wearing or praying salat. So for example, the ulama, they say, if you are not comfortable in going outside, such as in your pajamas, then you should not be praying salat in your pajamas also. Once again, is it allowed? Will your salat be complete? Yes, it may be complete, but that is not the way you present yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So wear something that is appropriate. Number two is, when it comes to the masjid, it is our responsibility to keep the masjid clean at all times. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he respected the person who kept the masjid clean. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a woman who would come and clean the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he found out that she had passed away, he made it his obligation to go to her grave and pray salat on her. So that is why it is important that whenever we see anything around, you know, generally the understanding is, if it's not my mess, why do I have to pick it up? You understand? That's usually what comes to our mind. I never made this mess. Why do I have to clean it up? So that is why that is not the mindset that we need to have. If I'm outside and I see something on the ground, just pick it up and put it in the trash. You understand? That's the way. Go clean your hands afterwards, of course. But if you see something, try to pick it up, inshallah. Now, the next thing, which is something very important, part of dressing up and making yourself presentable in the masjid, is that when you come to the masjid, that making sure that there is no bad odor that is coming from your body. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith, Man akala thuman aw basalan falyatazilna. That whoever has eaten garlic or an onion, he should stay away from us. And in one riwayah, he says, فَلْيَعْتَزِلْ مَسَاجِدَنَا. He should stay away from our places of worship, i.e. the masjid. So what that means is that if you eat something such as an onion, a long time ago, they would eat sometimes a garlic, they would eat onions, and there might be a very strong smell that might be coming from their mouth, and this could offend others when they were praying. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you have eaten something, now it does not only mean you've eaten a garlic or actually an onion that you're not allowed to come to a masjid, but if you have eaten something that can offend others, then you should stay away from the masjid. Or even if you're coming to a masjid, take some, you know, some fresh mints and so forth, so that you do not offend anyone. Now, based on this, there are some other important things to keep in mind. I'm not going to go into this topic and subject right now, but there are many people, unfortunately, they're smoking, they're vaping and things of that type. First of all, it's wrong to begin with. But when you're doing this and then you come to the masjid, this can offend others. and people can smell it from your clothes. So if this is the case, first of all, you should be staying away from these kind of habits. They're bad habits as it is. But if you're doing something like this, try to keep some kind of perfume, some atar in your coat pocket, in the masjid, or somewhere inside the masjid, or in your car, and apply it before you come inside the masjid. Also, it is very important that, especially, you know, when it comes to our youth, we have to teach our youth. I try to tell the youth, but a lot of times they're coming in at the last second. So the gym may close 5 minutes before Salat, and they're all rushing inside and they're sweating. You understand? They're sweating, and there's a very strong smell that's coming from them of all the sweat and so forth. And a lot of times what they do is, you know, a quick, it's like a drive-through wudu, you know? Hands, and then masah, and then it doesn't matter what kind of socks. They just do a socks, and just throw a thobe on top, and they're sweating, and they're coming inside the masjid. That can offend others. So that is why my recommendation, if there's anyone who's coming from the gym, or you're at the gym and you're coming to the masjid and so forth, apply some perfume before you come inside, the masjid. Also, even the same thing at home too, I would recommend, if you have a backyard and the kids are playing in the backyard and they get dirty, do not just let them come inside and join the Salat. No, make them go clean up, freshen up, and then pray Salat. See, what that does is that you're teaching your kids. What you're doing is, you're teaching your kids that when it comes for Salat, you do not just treat it as a burden. Come in, pray Salat, and get over with it. No, you have to make yourself presentable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is why it is something very important. And even if you are around other people who are stinking, and they are doing something, or you've gone to a certain place where there's a very strong smell there, and then you're coming to the masjid, in that case, you could be offending others. So that is why it is always very important. Even I will say this, Ramadan is coming. Often in Ramadan, people are eating so much and iftar, then they're coming for taraweeh, and while the imam is, you know, reciting the Fatiha or qira'ah, and there's a burp that comes, and then they're spreading their barakah everywhere, okay? So even if that happens, okay, no one wants to smell the nihari or the samosas or whatever you ate, okay? At that time, even if a burp comes, you try to keep it somehow, some way to yourself, okay? You don't have to, you know, they say sharing is caring. This is not sharing and caring, okay? So just want to make that very clear. Now, the next thing when it comes to the masjid, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got upset at this, is when he saw people running to the masjid. So one is to come to the masjid, but he saw people coming and running inside the masjid. At that time, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it said that he heard like a huge noise. And when he asked, what is that huge noise? He found that some people were rushing inside the masjid. He asked them, what's causing you to rush? And they said that we're trying to catch the salat. That's why we're rushing. And that's why they made this huge noise outside the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got really upset. And he says, do not hasten like this. But when you come with some waqar. Come with, you know, walk. If you know, don't run. Walk fast if you need to, but come in, do not come hasty in this way. So when it comes to the masjid, you know, people say that I'm running late for the masjid. If you're running late for the masjid or for salat, then you come and you leave home early. Simple as that. Get ready 5 minutes early, 10 minutes early, and then come to the masjid. But what we see happening is that, see, if a person is walking fast, there's no problem in that. They're trying to walk fast. They're trying to get to the masjid. But one is running. It's not, I would not say it's haram, but the Prophet ﷺ is saying that it's not appropriate. You understand? So that's one. But a lot of times in that rush, we don't realize we're parking terribly wrong too. You understand? There's times where people are parking in a way that you're taking up two car spots. You understand? Why? Because I'm trying to rush to get to the salat. So this is something that is not appropriate. And also, parking, you know, especially here around us, we have so many Muslims around us. People are parking in other people's driveways. That's not even allowed to begin with. That's not your property. It's not the masjid property. You understand? It's that personal, it's a personal property, and you have to respect that. People are coming for Jum'ah and parking right in front of the house. Or parking on people's driveways and so forth. Even there are sometimes cases where they're blocking the driveway. that's not even allowed. That's not, you're doing something that is causing harm to the person living inside the house. So that is why things of that type, in the name of rushing for salat, when we do things to offend others, we're not doing something that is good. We're doing something which is completely wrong. Then, when it comes to the masjid, when you enter inside the masjid, you enter with your right foot. When you leave the masjid, you enter with your, you exit with your left foot. Now, a lot of times people ask, wait, what, you know, what is the ruling when it comes to a masjid like this, when you have an Islamic center? See, overseas, you don't have many Islamic centers. You have a masjid, you walk inside the masjid, you're inside the masjid, you understand? Here, like in America, many times you go and you'll find an Islamic center. So what do you do in that kind of situation? You don't have to be worried about walking through the main doors, but when you walk into this area where we pray salat, this is what you need to be worried about. You understand? So when you come inside this area where we pray salat, that is when you enter with the right foot. Allahumma inni Allahumma aftahli abwab rahmatik. You understand? That you enter with the right foot and you read the dua. And when you exit with the left foot and you say Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. This is what we learn from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah, there was a sheikh who was one time tested by one of their community members. Because as you all know that when the Prophet alaihi wasallam, when he would wear his shoes, what was the routine? Right or left first? Right first and then left. So what a person did was that he took the shoes and he put it right outside the masjid to see what that sheikh does. Because if he takes the left foot out first, that means that he's going to put his left foot in the shoe first, which goes against the sunnah of wearing shoes. So he was trying to test the sheikh. So what he did, what the sheikh did was, he was one step ahead. What he did was that when he put his foot out of the masjid, he put his foot not inside the shoe, but on the shoe. Okay? He put his left foot on the shoe, then he took out his right foot and he slipped it in his shoe, and then he slipped in his left foot into the shoe. Smart, you understand? So once again, you enter the masjid with the right, you exit with the left. Also, it's important that some people have asked, is it okay to lie down in the masjid? You know, sometimes you come, you see someone lying down inside the masjid. I've seen people coming and saying, hey, you're not supposed to be lying down inside the masjid. Is it allowed to lie down inside the masjid? Yes, it is. There were times when Sahaba came inside the masjid and they saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lying down inside the masjid. Now, there is one key tangent matter here. A lot of times people are maybe lying down. And are you allowed to face your feet towards the Qibla or not? You understand? Or people are leaning against the wall and their feet are facing in the direction of the Qibla. Now, for those of us who come from Indo-Pak, okay, this is a very serious matter. You understand? It's considered as a disrespect if you're facing your feet towards the Qibla. I'm telling you from an academic perspective, if you're sitting in the Haram, if you're sitting in the Haram, and you are facing your feet towards the Kaaba, in that case, it is considered as a disrespect. You understand? But if you're sitting inside the masjid and your feet is facing in that direction, there is technically no problem. You understand? You're not committing a sin. You're not committing necessarily a violation. You understand? Because this is just a direction. That's all you're doing. That's all it is. You understand? I'm not standing over here and telling you that tomorrow when I come, I want all of you to be sitting in this way and facing your feet in this way. I'm just telling you that if someone is doing this, you understand? Then you should not get upset with them. This is something I've seen often. Now, next question, are you allowed to sleep inside the masjid? Are you allowed to sleep inside the masjid? Darasab, you're saying yes? Yes? Okay, yes, you're allowed to sleep, okay? You're allowed to sleep inside the masjid. Of course, one thing is that you have to keep in mind that because the Ashab al-Sufa will sleep in the back of the masjid, you understand? In the back of the masjid, you have the Ashab al-Sufa, so it is absolutely allowed. However, the ulama, they do say that you should not be sleeping in any place or lying down in any place where people are generally praying salat. Try to do it on the side, that is more appropriate. Also, can you talk about, talking out loud inside the masjid. Talking out loud inside the masjid. It is not generally recommended. This is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where people need to observe silence and quietness, and that is why it is not right. If people are making noise, they should be told to lower their voice. The next thing is, buying and selling inside the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua against the person who does buying and selling inside the masjid. Also, you're not allowed to make an announcement if you lose something. Okay, you're not allowed to make an announcement. People come to me and they said, I've lost my keys. Can you make an announcement from here? I cannot. And when I say I cannot, they get really offended. This is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, usually I tell people, just go to their front desk. You might find it. And subhanAllah, many times people, they come to their front desk and they will find it. A lot of times if people do find something, they may come and give it to me. For me, it's a brand new car, okay? But, you know, but I decide to give it back, you know? It's not my car, anyway. But, you know, I may have something, people come, they'll find it, inshallah. But the point is that you cannot be making a lost and found announcement from the front of the masjid. Also, can you talk about dunya inside the masjid? Can you talk about dunya inside the masjid? It is mentioned that some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they will sometimes be sitting inside the masjid and they're talking about zamanul jahiliyyah. They're talking about the past times. So the ulama, they say that there are few conditions that you have to keep in mind if you really want to talk about dunya inside the masjid. First of all, it's not the right place. But if you're sitting inside the masjid and talking about dunya, few things you have to keep in mind. Number one is, you should not be talking in a way that you are disturbing anyone reading Quran or praying salat. Number two is, do not make it a habit, okay? You want to talk about business or you talk about dunya, let's go to the masjid only like that. No. If you need to be talking, you make it short and concise. And first of all, talking about dunya and talking about doing business and buying and selling, they're two different things. You should not be buying and selling like that in the masjid. But if you're talking about dunya, try to keep it. Do not make a habit out of it. And also, the discussion that you're having regarding dunya should not be about something that is considered haram. Okay, two people sitting inside the masjid, what's going on? You know, I hate that guy. Let's go do something to that guy. No, okay? Nothing that is considered as haram is allowed to be discussed inside the masjid. Another big issue. So in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned that there was a group of people who came from Ethiopia. And they were conducting an activity of theirs, a cultural activity inside the masjid. Based on this, there are many people that when it comes to the subject of, for example, children playing inside the masjid, okay? There are a lot of times children will come inside the main area of where we pray, and they're gonna be sitting over here playing football, playing, you know, soccer and so forth inside the masjid. First of all is that, you're gonna have different opinions and so forth. And because of this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, or the fact that the Prophet ﷺ, he approved of it, that is why you're gonna have some scholars who will say, if kids are playing inside the masjid, is absolutely fine, okay? For me personally, I'm not okay with it, you understand? I'm generally not okay with it because once again, there is a certain sanctity that the masjid has. Playing football, playing, you know, soccer inside the masjid, I'm never for it. And especially in our masjid, when you have so much more facility, you can go there and play. There's no need to be playing inside these kind of areas. Now, but have I gone to some other places? Yes, I've been to other places where they're playing right inside the masjid area. Once again, I'm generally not okay with it because for me, the masjid is a very sacred place and we have to respect that sacred place. So this is something that, you know, subhanAllah, is something that you're gonna find with the masjid. There are some masjid managements who are completely fine with it. And there are some masjid managements who are very, very strict about it. The next thing, and actually I would say the last thing, inshallah. What about doing a nikah inside the masjid? What about doing a nikah inside the masjid? Let me tell you something about nikahs at the masjid. First of all, is that majority of the nikahs that would take place in the time of the Prophet ﷺ were happening at the masjid. Okay, so there's nothing wrong in having a nikah at the masjid. In fact, it is the best place to have the nikah. But here's the issue. Okay, see, a lot of times what's happening is that people want the best of both worlds. Okay, they want to do the nikah at the masjid. Okay, and Dr. Saab is smiling. He knows where I'm going with this. Okay, because he's a board member. So, people want to do the nikah at the masjid for simplicity and sunnah purposes, but they want to bring the banquet hall experience to the masjid too, okay? So they want to have the banquet experience inside the masjid, you understand? And that is why, subhanAllah, even here at Epic, it happened several times, where people were coming inside the masjid for nikah purposes, and they're bringing that, you know, that curtain, that flower, okay? You know what I'm talking about? That curtain, which is like flowers, just, you know, it's like this big, and they put it between the groom and the bride. First of all, side tangent here, I don't even understand the purpose of that, okay? Husband and wife, those two people have done so much more than looking at each other, and then they put this thing in the middle, which does not make any sense to me. But okay, let's move forward, inshallah, right now on that, okay? But they put this inside the masjid. This is not something that goes inside the masjid. By the way, even here at Epic, we banned it, okay? We banned it, because if you're going to come inside the masjid to gain the sunnah experience, then you do the proper sunnah, you understand? You do the proper sunnah, and bringing all these banquet hall experiences inside the masjid is just not appropriate. Now, there are a lot of masajid who still allow these kind of things. Once again, for me, I don't have a big problem with it. You want to do the nikah at a banquet hall and get all the banquet hall experience, you go to a banquet hall, you understand? But if you want to do it in the masjid, why? For sunnah purposes. For simplicity purposes, then you do it the right way. You understand? And that is why you will notice, anytime I conduct a nikah here at the masjid, I always say, after the nikah is over, I always remind them that the masjid is still the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to maintain the adab and the respect of the masjid. So ladies, try to say on your side, men try to say on your side, and do not raise your voices. There was a time, even here in our masjid, there was like a few times where the groom was being thrown into the air, okay? They're being thrown into the air, and alhamdulillah, he got caught. Otherwise, he would have fallen really hard, you understand? But once again, these are not practices that we do inside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is once again a very sacred and sanctified area, and that's why we have to respect the sanctity of the masjid and the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, every single place has their own respect. I tell the kids, subhanAllah, the other day I was sitting with our QCA kids. I told them, when you go inside a library and you make noise, they will kick you out immediately. Why? Because that is a place to observe silence. When it comes to a masjid, you have to also observe silence. And I'll finish on this. Please, please, and please, parents. I'm not telling you that if you tell your child once, they're gonna understand. Especially if they're like above the age of 5, or they're, you know, 6 or 7. You understand? They start to understand a little more. Teach them that when you go to the masjid, when you hear قَدَ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, you drop everything and you join the salat. You understand? This is something that we need to teach our kids. My father, he would take me and my brother to the masjid, and he would make sure that we don't make a single peep from our, you know, a single noise from our mouth when we were praying salat. He taught us, when you go to the masjid, you are absolutely serious. When the imam is leading the salat, you don't say a single word. Even if there were other kids who were trying to, like, you know, kids, they mess with other kids. And that's why, if you notice my behavior, I always put the kids between the adults. You understand? Because when two come together, when two shaitans come together a lot of times, it's going to be a big problem. You understand? And shaitan is going to be with them at all times. So that is why I always divide the kids. You can come here and see it. I always divide the kids. Why? Because shaitan is with them. Shaitan is going to, you know, do something in their, you know, do something to them. So that is why, even with kids, when I was a kid, when kids would want to mess with me, you understand? I realized, because my father was strict about this, you are not allowed to engage with anyone. Let them do whatever they want to do to you, but you're not allowed to engage with them back. You understand? And this is how I was taught. This is how we need to teach our kids. When it comes to salat, there is no compromise. When you hear قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, you drop everything. You drop everything. I came here one time to the masjid, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, and there are two kids, Pokemon cards, okay? Exchanging Pokemon cards and so forth. No, when you hear قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, you drop everything and you go for salat. This is something that we have to enforce. Not just keep on encouraging. Initially, you can encourage, but you have to enforce it upon the kids so that later on, when they come to the masjid, they know you can do whatever you want in the appropriate manner. But when you hear قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ, you drop everything and you come for salat. This is something that we have to teach and encourage and enforce within our children, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the ability to respect the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen rabbil alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.